Okay, that would be a draw. Okay, we have a lot of questions today about Parshas and Sefer Shemot. Medrash, towards the beginning of Medrash Rabbah, towards the beginning of Shemot, is a Medrash that says, "On v'yela Shemot b'nei Yisrael haboim Mitzrayma, Ruvain Shimon Levi v'Yehuda, etc." So the Medrash says that all their names were al shem ha-ge'ula. Ruvain, his name was Kirah Elokim, and Hashem saw B'nai Yisrael's affliction. Shimon, because Hashem heard our wails, our cries. Levi, and of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was mitchaber himself, melava himself to B'nai Yisrael, etc., etc. You can see the Medrash and Medrash Rabbah in the beginning of Shemos. I think it's around the 7th or 8th one. So the Farshim asked, look at Parshas Vayetze, and over there we have different reasons for their name. Reuven is because Leah said, "Ki ro Hashem b'oni, Hashem saw my pain, my affliction." That's why she called her son Reuven. Shimon, because "Vayar Hashem ki snua anochi," that I am hated. Levi, because now my husband will escort me. All names dealing with different reasons, totally nothing to do with the Geula. And here the Medrash says that the names of Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, all the 12 tribes, are Nikra al Shem HaGeula, because of the impending Geula from Mitzrayim. How could you change a reason for a name? The reason for the name was, so it's written in Parshas Vayetze. How could the Medrash write a different reason? Well, it's going against the Torah. How can it do that? That's question number one. Sefer Shemot starts with, "V'ela Shemot b'nei Yisrael haba'im Mitzrayma." These are the name of b'nei Yisrael coming to Mitzrayim. Eit Yaakov, together with Yaakov. Ishu Beit Obo, person came with his family. Now, this is out of order. This happened 130 years ago. You see in Parshas Vayigash, that's when Yaakov and his children came down to Mitzrayim. This is later. This is 70 years after Yaakov's death. This is 120, 130 years since all these things happened. So how could it say it's out of order?
The time period of Shemos?
Chronologically. This happened. Ve'elu Shemos b'nei Yisrael haboim Mitzrayim.
Much earlier.
Yeah, 120 years ago in Sefer Bereishis. Out of order. Ah, you're going to tell me the age-old teretz of Ein Muktim U'Meuchar B'Torah, there's no Seder in the Torah. That's a mistake. There is a Seder. Usually it's chronological. Sometimes, for certain reasons, it's changed because of those reasons. But you have to have a reason. So why is this written over here? It happened a long time ago. It happened in Parshas Vayigash. That's our second question. Okay. The third question is, does it have a chumash in Parshas Vayigash Mem Vav Pasuk Ches? It says, "V'yela Shemos b'nei Yisrael haba'im Mitzrayma, Yaakov uvanav," Yaakov and his kids, "b'char Yaakov Reuven," and then it says all the kids' names. Here it says almost a carbon copy, "V'yela Shemos b'nei Yisrael haba'im Mitzrayma, Eit Yaakov with Yaakov, Ishu Beis Evo." What do you need a repetition? Almost word for word. And one is in Vayigash, and one is over here in Shemos. How much a carbon copy? First pasuk is in Mem Vav Bereishis Pasuk Ches. V'yela Shemos b'nei Yisrael haba'im Mitzrayma, Yaakov uvanav Yaakov with his children, b'char Yaakov Reuven, and who lists all the kids. And here it says, "V'yela in Pasuk Aleph, Perak Aleph, Pasuk Aleph of Shemos." It says, "V'yela Shemos b'nei Yisrael haboyim Mitzrayma, Eit Yaakov with Yaakov, Ishu Beisai Ba'u, Reuven Shimon Levi Yehuda." What's the pasuk that repeats itself in the Torah? So maybe Rashi alludes to that. Rashi says, Hashem loves us. And because Mitzaychi Basim, because He loves us, He counts us. You love your money? Me too. How often do you count it? A lot. What are you counting it for? What do you think? There's a hole in your pocket, it fell out. Something that you like to count. It's a tether, it's a nature of a person. So Hashem loves us. So He likes to count us. Therefore He counted us in Parshas Vayigash, the Elish Shemosim Yisrael, He counts the 70 people coming down to Mitzrayim. And now in Shemot He counts us again. Why the two times? Because the first time He counted us when we were alive, and now He's counting us when we died. Because He loves us. So the question is, what's the sheer of love that because of that you count? Maybe you should count every day. Maybe you should count every week, every month. Why the chayayim of misasim? Why do we make such a amount of counting? Because He loves us. Only two. Maybe it should be 10. If it's because of love, then He should count us much more often. So what's this Indian that He counted us twice because He loves us? He loves us, He should count us more often. Okay, so let's just go over the questions so far. First question is that the Medrash says that the names of Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, etc., all the Shvatim, are because of the Geula. Reuven, because Hashem saw our affliction. Shimon, Hashem heard that the wails, the cries of the Yisrael, etc., etc. So we know in Parshas Vayetzei, they were given these names for different reasons. Leah called the first three children. Reuven, Hashem saw how I was afflicted by my husband. Shimon is because Hashem saw that I am hated, heard that I was hated. Levi, because Hashem will be, my husband will now be mitzchaber to me. Nothing to do with the geula. So how could the Medrash go against the Torah? The Torah said that what is the reason for their names? Personal reasons. And the Medrash says now in Shemos that it's because of the geula. Make up your mind. How could the Medrash go against the Torah? That was our first question. Second question is that it's out of order. The Elish Shemos ben Yisrael Avoy Mitzrayma happened over 100 years ago. So why are you writing it over here? Third question is, the exact same Pasuk, the Elish Shemos ben Yisrael Avoy Mitzrayma appears in Vayigash, Perek Mem Vav Pasuk Ches. Why repeat a Pasuk twice in the Torah? Fourth question is, that Rashi probably tries to answer that by saying, because He loves us, He wants to count us a lot. What does a lot mean? Maybe He should count us every day, maybe every week, every month. What is He counting us? The misasim v'chayim, He should count more often. It's because of love. I brought an example. I had somebody who complained with my request that loves money and he counts it a lot. But you count it once in your life. Once, if you like it, you count it all the time. Why did He only count it these two times? Next question is that in Vayigash, it says all the names of the kids, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, etc., and Yosef uBenyamin. Here it says Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, Benyamin, Dan, Yosef, Asher. Hey, what happened to Yosef? Next pasuk it says all the Yosef, Chalotzav, all the children and grandchildren of Yaakov were 70. The Yosef Hoya B'Mitzrayim. He writes Yosef as a separate entity. So Rashi is already bothered by that. But the Tirutim of Rashi seem to leave a little lack of understanding on our part. He's saying that Yosef was in Mitzrayim and nevertheless he remained Yosef. That has nothing to do with the counting. That has to do with Yosef. So why put Yosef aside as a separate part, even though he was part of the 70. And in Parshas Vayigash, puts them together, like Yosef is a regular one of the sons. In Shemos, he puts it as a separate part. The Yosef HaYo B'Mitzrayim. Very short. In Parshas Vayichi, you know what a Parshas Stuma means? Anybody here?
Yeah,
usually between one parsha and another parsha, either you have pei or sama. You have a gap, at least of a line. between Vayigash and Vayikri, there is no gap. So Rashi asks, why not? Because our eyes were closed, sort of, because of the Shibud that hit Bnei Yisrael. To show that, shows no gap whatsoever, because our eyes were like closed. So to the Parshas. That means, when did the Shibud start, Yoni? Parshas Vayikri. Here it starts telling you about the Shibud in Parshas Shemos. They put nisim, taxes, they made us work, and then back-breaking work, and all types of work. So make up your mind, when did the Shibud start? Did it start in Vayikri, or did it start now in Parshas Shemos? It's a big question. The last question, how many books of the Torah are there? Chamishei Chomshei Torah. Good, there's a mandamit that's 7, but Chamishei Chomshei Torah, because Bamidbar is divided into 3. But let's say Chamishei Chomshei Torah. There are halachos attached to this. How much space do you need a sofer has to leave between sefer and sefer? Between Bereshis and Shemos and Vayikra, etc. A few lines, 3 lines. You say 4 lines. 4 lines. That's what he says. I remember 3. But you have to, otherwise it renders the Sefer Torah puzzle. Meaning there's a real demarcation between Svarim. And what's in this Sefer is a separate book, what's in this Sefer is a separate book. Shemos sounds like it's just a continuation of what was happening in Bereshit. What landmark is there that makes it into a separate Sefer? So you have in Sefer Shemos Matan Torah. That would be a good spot where to put it as a separate Sefer. By Matan Torah, or by the Mishkan, the Hakamat HaMishkan. That would be a good place where to make it in separate Sefer. But the Eilish Shemos Bnei Yisrael, which first of all happened in Sefer Bereshis already, it's 130 years ago. What landmark, what happened over here that you render it into a separate book?
Have you seen Benjamin
Torah?
Is that your line?
No. You have something else, yeah, opposite. Nun, you have a different game on this.
Oh, what is that? Hold that separation?
What?
Vayim Torah, would you hold that separation?
The separate Sefer. So before Vayim Torah, and after Vayim Torah are 3 books. But Midbar is really 3 books. So there's 7 altogether. All right, it's a side issue. We'll talk about it one day. Mir Shem, when we get to Bamidbar, and you guys are still here. So believe me, we'll talk about it. I don't think either will happen. Yeah?
Whenever you started, I told you that they don't start. I told you the same thing. It's right after they just left Egypt.
Well, what?
Whenever you start Shemos,
Matan Torah. That would be a good time.
They just left.
No, you didn't have to mention Egypt. You don't have to mention that. Or Chanukah HaMishkan. That's a good place. That's something new. Here, there's nothing new. We yet Shibud is not new, and the names are not new, and the counting is not new. Nothing is new. What happened over here? So if you see, I'm getting to something. I asked 7 questions that I'm sure if I would give each and every one of you an hour in the Beis Medrash to think about them, you'll probably come up with the same terrace that I did. Now I'm going to ask 2 questions at the end of my 7 questions that are in a different topic. One of them I asked this morning. Moshe Rabbeinu, we know nothing about. Nothing about. And suddenly Hashem appears to him out of nowhere. You're leading Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. You're going to become the leader, the Moshion Shel Yisrael, the one that's going to save Bnei Yisrael, the Rabban Shel Yisrael. Who was Moshe Rabbeinu? And why was he worthy to be the leader now of Klal Yisrael? So we said a Musar Bar this morning. I'll say something different now. We know that there were 2 women that were chosen to be the nursemaids to give birth of the Jewish children. Who were they? Shifra and Pua. Gemara says, who is Shifra and Pua? Yocheved and Miriam. And as a result of not caving into the request of Paro, Hashem gave them batim, bias. What bias did Yocheved get? Base Kohuna. Kohanim came out of her. Aaron. What bias did Miriam get? Base Malchus. Who came out of her? Yoshua. Yocheved and Shifra and Pua. It's written their names.
Which
one
are they? Which
Bat
are they?
Base Kahuna,
yeah.
And Base Malchus. Yocheved, the mother of Moshe, got Base Kahuna, and Miriam got Base Malchus. Question is why? Arbitrarily, they shot a dice, and this one got this one, this one got this one. Or is there something about Miriam that she should have to get Beit Malchus and Yocheved getting Beit Kohen? One more question I have, does anybody know, remember the Rashi, how Moshe Rabbeinu killed the Mitzri?
He looked
Shem HaMeforash. Very good. Kill them with using God's name, whatever that means. Why didn't he kill them in a normal manner? What's so special about killing with God's name? Okay, we have all the questions.
What's question number 6 in the original 7?
The Shibud, when did it start? Did it start in Parshas Vayechi? Or did it start now in Shemos, like it says in the Torah? Rashi says it started in Parshas Vayechi. But from the Torah, you see it started over here.
Why did Rashi say it started in Parshas Vayechi?
Because it's Stuma, the Parsha. What is Stuma? Because their eyes became closed. Because of, they couldn't look at anything, they were nervous because of. So I want to answer as follows. Masechet Sota, Daf Yud Beis, brings a story that many of you have heard before. Vayelech Ish mi Beis Levi. A man came from Beis Levi, and he took Bas Levi. He married Bas Levi. Who's the man? Who's the woman? And where did he go? Vayelech Ish. Where did he go? So Omer of Yehuda Bar Zavina, Shoholach Batzas Bito. He went, he listened to the Eitzah, to the advice of his daughter. Who is this? Tana, we learned. Amram Godo Hador Hoya. Amram, the father of Moshe, was the Godo Hador. Okay? The most wise man of the dor. Kivan Shirosh Ama Paro Harosha. He heard that Paro made a Xero. Kol Habein Hayilod Hayahorat Ashlichuhu. Omar, he said, Lashav Anu Amelim. So why should we be married? Every kid that we're going to have is going to be thrown in the Yahor. So might as well not have children. So what did he do? Omar Begirosh Ishto. He made a statement. He divorced his wife. There's no Indian for me to be married to my wife. Because any kid that's going to be born is going to be thrown into the yard. If a Godol Hador does that, everybody followed suit. Amdu Kulam Begirshu Nishoteya. Everybody followed suit, and they also divorced their wives. All of Kali Yisrael divorced their wives. Amra Leibitai. So his daughter Miriam said, Abba, Kasha Gzeirascha Yaisami Paro. Your Gzeira is harsher than Paro. Paro Leigozar Elaskarim. Harai was only goes there on the males that have to be thrown. The Atah Gedarta was Charim on the cables. You, by not letting the people be married, yourself and others, you're not getting any children, both males and females being born. Harai lay goes there over Oilam Azek. Harai was only goes there in this world. The Atah, the Oilam Azek over Oilam Abba. Because at least Paro, the kids will be born, they'll get Oilam. They won't have Olam Hazeh, but they'll have Olam Haba, because they were born. But you don't get kids to be born at all. They're not going to have Olam Hazeh or Olam Haba. Haroi Horosha, Sofek Mitzkayemes, say Rosai, Sofek Eni Mitzkayemes. Haroi is mortal. He may die today, he may die tomorrow. So his Xeris may be for a shortened period of time. But you're the God of Ador, you Patkin Ha'alacha, it's going to be for everyone. Nope, that's three strong arguments. Let's go over the three strong arguments. Paro was goes there only on the males, she's saying. And you, Amram, are goes on males and females. Paro is only goes there in this world. But your goes there that they shouldn't have Oilam Haba either. You don't let anybody be born. Paro, you don't know if it's going to be for 10 years or 30 years or 10 days. He's mortal. Well, you're a tzaddik, so certainly your gzera will be mitkayemet. So Amad v'hizirat ishtay. He heard the argument of Miriam. He took back his wife. So what does vayelech mean? He went with the etza of his daughter, and he took back his wife. He remarried his wife. Amdu kumam v'hizirat nishoseyet. All of Bnei Yisrael also remarried their wives. Okay. That's the story. So you have to understand, how old was Miriam at the time?
Six.
I think five. Let's give it a benefit of the doubt. She had a sixth birth. So a six-year-old girl against the god of Hador, Amram, who was the wisest man of a generation. And he, who wins out? She wins out. He kissed her afterwards on the head and said that, you're right. And he took back his wife. And what was their argument? There must have been an argument. Well, how did she best him? What were they arguing in? And how could a 5 or 6 year old girl best the god of Adar? It just doesn't make sense. So you could say they argued in the following point, and that's the theme of what we're coming to say. Amram felt that the firstborn males are going to be killed immediately. So who's going to be born that will remain alive? The girls, right? Who are they going to marry? Goyim, Mitzrim, Kushim, Amalek. I don't know who they're going to marry. But they're not going to marry Jews. There won't be any, right? What is the offspring going to be if the father is a Goy and the mother is a Jew, according to the laws of Bnei Noach? According to the laws of the Goyim. Let's say a Kushi marries a Amalek. Right? The girl is a Amalek and the father is Kushi. Go boss of the father. By Jewish law, we go boss the mother. Right? You know that. Chas v'shalom, a Goy marries a Jew, the kids will be Jewish. Shouldn't happen, but let's say it does happen. But by Goyim, if there's two nations intermarrying, you go boss of the father.
But how is that possible? Why should they go after the father? Because if they were Jewish, then
they
go after the mother.
Oh, you're saying mamish what I wanted to say. Amram felt that they were still had the laws of Bnei Noach. They did not yet become Bnei Yisrael. If they have the laws of Bnei Noach, you follow the father. So Amram made a cheshbon, what are we going to have kids for? If it's a male, he's going to die immediately. If it's a female, who's she going to marry to have kids with? A goy, and the kids will be goyim, because we're going according to the laws still of Bnei Noach. Therefore, Amram said, there's no reason to have. Miriam said, not that way. Miriam said, no, we're a new entity already. We're not a bunch of yechidim anymore. We're the entity known as Bnei Yisrael. We don't have yet the Torah and mitzvot, but we have already an entity has been born, has been created, known as Bnei Yisrael. If we're Bnei Yisrael, as far as Yichus is concerned, we adopt the laws not of Bnei Noach, we left them. We're not part of Bnei Noach anymore. We're a new entity known as Bnei Yisrael. And therefore, who is the, let there only be girls. The boys will die. But the girls, but let them marry some, and you'll follow the mother as far as the children is concerned. So that was the machlokes between Amram and Miriam. Amram felt that we still had a din of Bnei Noach. If you have a din of Bnei Noach, there's no children that will be born that eventually will remain Jewish. If it's a boy, he's going to die. If it's a girl, she's going to marry a goy, and the kids will be goyim because we have laws of Bnei Noach. Well, Miriam said, no, Yigzeir is wrong. We're a new entity. We're known as Bnei Yisrael. Since we're known as Bnei Yisrael, we'll follow the mother and the offspring. Therefore, save. Remarry your wife. Because by remarrying your wife and having children, if it's a girl, there'll still be a future of Kal Yisrael.
Kind of like what we were saying before, and our question was, Shimon Levi.
Right. That was the seeds we said at the time. And now we're becoming a real entity. Second thing, do Goyim have Olam Haba? Guys? How do they get Olam Haba? By birth? By us, call Yisrael. As long as you got the name Yisrael, Yes, I'm Chayok HaRuva. How about Goyim? They have to be Chassidei Umos HaOlam. They have to be worthy of it and prove it. So that's the second thing that she was tying to them. You are taking away Olam HaBa from them as well because you're not letting them be born. You're not, you divorced your spouses and there's not going to be any children. They're not going to have Olam HaBa. But me, I'm saying take back and have children. The boys will, they'll die right away, but they'll live for a second. Once they live for a second, they don't have to prove themselves. If they have a din of B'nai Noach, then they would have to live for a long time. Because to prove they're Chassidei Umos HaOlam. But if you're Yisrael, even 1 second, you get Olam HaBa. Now this is a Gemara in the Sanhedrin. The guys are learning in Perek HaChelek. I don't know if you're doing Perek HaChelek. When does a child get Olam HaBa? Some say from conception, some say from birth, some say from 3 years old, some say when he says Amen already, but these are various levels in Olam HaBa. But everybody holds that once you get a name of Yisrael, Yesh Lem Chayok Em HaBa. So that was the second machlokes between Miriam and Amram over this issue whether we're B'nai Noach or are we a new entity known as B'nai Yisrael. Amram felt that we had a din of Goyim, so anybody, anyway, they're not going to get Olam HaBa. The men, the males, because they're going to die right away, and they never prove that they were Chassidim. Masha'en K. Miriam felt, no, just by birth, just by being born, even though they'll die right away, they'll be thrown into Ya'ar, but they get Olam HaBa because they had a din of Yisrael. So therefore, that was the second argument between Miriam and Amram. The third is that Paro is suffering how long he'll live, whether his Gzeros will continue or not, but you, as a psak halacha of Bnei Yisrael, that will remain forever. So the question, the machoikis, the bone of contention between Miriam and Amram was whether there's a new entity. If you're living from the time of that Amram was living, years and years and years and years, you don't, and every day you see the same people of your family, so what do you say? My family got larger. But are we a new entity? He sees them in the same light as he saw them yesterday. Therefore, he did not see them as a new entity known as B'nai Yisrael. Miriam, on the other hand, is a 5, some say 6-year-old girl. She didn't know what was the last generation. All of a sudden, she sees a huge mushrooming of people. She doesn't call that a big family. She calls that the entity. She saw already that these are this is an entity which is known as B'nai Yisrael. Therefore, even though she was only a small girl and he was a Gadol Hadar, but there's one way that she could see even more than him, by the fact that she sees anew. Who's the first one that calls us B'nai Yisrael? See if anybody could get that. Who's the first one that gave us the name B'nai Yisrael? You say Yisrael, you say? Who?
Malach Beisav?
Talking about B'nai Yisrael. Vayokam Melech Chadosh al Mitzrayim in Pasuk. Beginning of the parasha. Vayokam Melech Chadosh al Mitzrayim, Pasuk Ches, and he says, Hine, behold, I'm B'nai Yisrael. Ravotam, nobody ever called us B'nai Yisrael. I'm B'nai Yisrael. The first one that called, why did he call us I'm B'nai Yisrael? Because Melech Chodosh, he saw things anew, either according to the Pshat, that he was a new king. So the previous king that saw us for years and years and years, and just saw us mushrooming into a bigger family. But he saw us as an entity. This is not a family. This is an entity. It's a nation already. So the same thing, him and Miriam had that commonality in the fact that they saw us anew, with a new light. If you look at a new light, just walk in. Are you going to call this a big family or are you going to call this a nation? They're going to call this a nation. And therefore we got the name of Am B'nai Yisrael and we got already a yichus. Not all the mitzvahs. There's a big Ramban in this parsha. Big machlokes. When exactly we got the dinim of B'nai Yisrael, but certainly the entity of Am B'nai Yisrael. And not to be part of B'nai Noach anymore. That you could say that happened, that transpired over here in this parsha. With this, I wipe out all the kashas. All the kashas. First kasha is, we asked, why do they have their names called Al Shema Gu'uga? Their names should be called, like in Parsha Sayyetse, Reuven for his reason, Shema. The answer is, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, the 12 people in Sefer Bereishis, become a new entity in Sefer Shemos. There's a shift they call the Shvatim. Rather than becoming individuals, which is Sefer Bereishis, it's a book of individuals, Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, the 12 sons of Yaakov, etc. We now become a new people. We're Yud Beis Shiftei Koh. We're the 12 Shvatim of Yisrael. So they emerge from being a single person. Why were they called the individual name Reuven Shimon? That's a pasuk tells you in Vayetzeh. Why are they now called the Shevet Reuven, the Shevet Shimon? That's because of the names of Shema Gehula. That deals with the cloud of Bnei Yisrael. So therefore a different name, because now they're the Shvatim of Reuven Shimon rather than the individuals of Reuven Shimon. Second question that I asked was that it's not, it's out of Seder. The answer is, it's chronologically, you're right. It happened 120 years ago. But perspective-wise, it's a new perspective. Before, we were looking at them as a family. They still had the Yichus of Bnei Noach. Now we're looking at them as Am Bnei Yisrael. That's Sefer Shemos. If you wanted to describe Sefer Shemos in a nutshell, it's the emergence of Am Bnei Yisrael, of the nation of the Ummah known as Bnei Yisrael. That's what happened in this book. And that's why that's what happened in this book. Chronologically, it may be out of order. But now, coming to Mitzrayim has a different look on it. We came to Mitzrayim and we became a nation. So Mamelu, also with this, we answer the question that we had a repetitive pasuk. One in Vayikash, one in Shemos. I'm going to read the two pesukim again. I think Yitzi has the pasuk in front of him. Tell me the difference, Rabbi said. Tell me the difference. See if you can hear the difference. In Vayigash it says, V'yela Shemos, I'm not trying to put one by you, I think you'll get it. V'yela Shemos B'nei Yisrael, Habayim Mitzrayim, that came to Mitzrayim, Yaakov Uvonov, Yaakov and his sons, Bechor Yaakov, Reuven, Reuven, etc. In Shemos it says, the same words, V'yela Shemos B'nei Yisrael, Habayim Mitzrayim, Eit Yaakov with Yaakov, Ish Uveso Ba'u, man with his family, with his household came. What's the difference? The Yehush Mos Bnei Yisrael Boi Mitzrayim, Yaakov Uvanov, Yaakov and his sons. And here it says, Eit Yaakov with Yaakov, Ish Uvesoi Bo, each with his family. Huh? The first one was talking about where who is the head of the family? It was a family. Who's the head of the family? Yaakov and his sons. What role do they have? They're the sons of the man, person, the head of the family. Now it's together with Yaakov, but they take over. The Yud Beis Shvatim now take over. Ish Ubeisai formed his Shevet. Reuven and his household. Shimon and his household. That's a different mahus. That's a different totality of a being. That's not the same thing as Parsha Vayigash. Vayigash, they were independent. They were individuals. And here, the Yud Beis Shvatim are forming who was responsible that they were able to form from one big family into separate units known as Yud Beis Shvatim. Let me also give you a nafkamina. Who used to foot the bill for everything, for the food, for everything in Sefer Bereishis? When they had to go to Yosef, they needed money. Who'd they ask money from? Their father, Yaakov. They're 30 years old, they're 40 years older. What do you ask? That was the family. The family was Yaakov, and they were Samach al Shulchan Ovid. Now that they come down to Mitzrayim, they're coming with Yaakov, but each one is a separate entity, financially and everything else. We're a separate Shevet. So the Megla, they, who's the one that was responsible that they could become separate Shevet? Yosef. The Yosef Hoya b'Mitzrayim, and he set up that each Shevet could live on their own now, because he was the Mashfir, he was the head of Mitzrayim. That's why it says a separate pasuk. In Parshas Vayigash it says Yosef amongst the kids, Yosef uVinyamin, because we're listing the kids of Yaakov. Here we're talking about separate Shvatim. How were the 11 able to become separate Shvatim and to live on their own without being under the guise of a family member Yaakov? That's because the Yosef Hoyim Mitzrayim. He was the one that was able to put each one on their feet, and now you're a separate Shevet. First you're a separate family until you become a separate Shevet. Once you become separate Shevet, that's the emergence of Kol Yisrael. And that's why it says separately Yosef from Yisrael. That's why the Shibud was different. The Shibud in Parshas Vayechi, where their eyes were closed because of the hard work. That happened to individuals. We got you, you're a Jew. So we got, but it wasn't collectively that Bnei Yisrael were working together as Avodim. It was, they made a passed the law. Whoever has an electric store is only allowed to sell till 12 o'clock. You know, like the Germans, like Nachshema, made various laws, anti-Jewish laws. But it was to individuals. In here, where we become Am Bnei Yisrael, the laws that are made are against the Am, and not against the individuals anymore. That's why we all work together. There was no Yotzim in a club. We all did the work in the field together. We all made the houses together. We all made all the work together. We all paid Misim together. That's why it's a different Shibud. Over there it was Tzoros, but now we become Avodim. Our nation becomes Avodim. That's a totally different Mahus. That's why it's written two different Shibudim. And that's why it's a Sefer Chodosh. Matan Torah is more of a landmark. Hakamas HaMishkan, more of a landmark. But a different perspective are these things. The same Shemos B'nai Yisrael in Bereshit, those were individuals. The Shemos of B'nai Yisrael in Shemos, those are the Shvatim. Those become Am B'nai Yisrael. And that's why this is the demarcation line to form a separate Sefer from here versus... The only question that we remain with is Moshe Rabbeinu. How did Moshe Rabbeinu get into this act? Oh, I also want to answer, that's why Miriam received Beis HaMalchus. She was the one that came up with the Eitza that we're a nation. Therefore, what prize do you get? Malchus. That's what a nation is. That's why she got Beis HaMalchus and Yocheved got Beis Kehuna. But there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. She's learning Sanhedrin. Feldman is up to Nun Ches already.
Done.
He's done already? They made you see him already? So, in Nun Ches, listen to this Gemara, and then I'll tell you why Moshe Rabbeinu became the leader. Amar Rab Chanina, remember the names. Remember the name. Amar Rab Chanina. Oved Kechavim Shehiko Es Yisrael, according to the laws of Zayim Mitzvahs B'nai Noah, a goy that hits a Jew, Chayav Misa. How do you learn it out from? Who can tell me? Where do you learn it out from? This week's parsha, a goy that hits a Jew is chayav misa. Shenemar, it says by Moshe, vayifen kovacho, he looks over here and there, vayar kiyein ish, vayach, it's a Mitzri, and he hits the Mitzri. He kills the Mitzri. Why did he kill the Mitzri? Because the Mitzri has hit a Jew. Okay? Next, v'yomar Rab Chanina. Oh, same person. V'yomar Rab Chanina. Hasoter lo osho Yisrael. Somebody slaps the jaw of a Jew. Ki'ilu soter lo'o shel shechina. It's as if you slap the jaw of Hashem. Shenemar mokeshonim yelo kodesh. Moshe Rabbeinu realized Miriam was the one that said, we're an Am. She saw the picture that we're an Am. Moshe Rabbeinu understood what type of a nation. What is the Mahus? What is the totality of the being of Am Yisrael? Who are we? How could you describe who a Jew is? What is a Jew? Moshe understood it. He says, we're the ambassadors of Hashem. If you touch a Jew, it's like you're touching a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We're not just people that believe in God, but we are the nation of Hashem. We're the ambassadors. What we do in this world is supposed to represent, reflect what a Kadosh Baruch Hu is all about. Therefore, he was chosen to be the leader of the people. He was the one that understood, not the Constitution only, what we're all about. What we are is the Am Hashem. And whoever touches us, it's as if he touched the Shekhinah. And that's why he killed the Mitzri. The same Rab Chanina, same person, says both Mar Chazal, same Rab Chanina. Whoever touches a Jew is Chayav Misa. Then it says whoever touches a Jew, it's as if he touched Hashem. That's the reason. The reason why Chayav Misa is because we're a different type of a nation. We're a nation that reflects what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what the Shekhinah is all about. You touch a Jew, you're touching the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why he was chosen to be the leader of Kal Yisrael. So it's not... He was chosen because he knew how to kill Goyim. He knew how, he realized what the Jewish nation was. How did he kill the Goy? Shame on the Furash. Because he showed, what did you start up with? With me? No, you're starting up with Hashem. Therefore, you get killed with the Shame on the Furash of Hashem. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu realized. So it's a tremendous thing that we have to go from Parsha to Parsha. You'll give me that opportunity during Sefer Shemos, I'll do it. I'll show you a different perspective as we build up from Parsha to Parsha, what Am B'nai Yisrael is all about. So far we have the physical emergence of Am Bnei Yisrael, which is Yichus. And secondly, the leader of Am Yisrael, who is Moshe Rabbeinu, who understood what we're all about. We're the nation that is like the ambassadors that reflect, that represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. Have a good Shabbos.
There was a question about how
much
Kavim
he loves. What? Oh, you don't just count. It doesn't mean that he loves us, he counts us every minute. It means when there's a different perspective happening, like it's when you birth it. That's when I count you. Right? New thing happened. That's what I'm
saying. That the last point, we need to understand what that we're the Mr. Striking Jew.